I was just making sure it was my turn because sometimes I don't get the right cue. Sometimes I jump the gun. Oftentimes, if there's a scripture reader, I race the scripture reader to the podium, and then I have to back off so he can read passage of scripture from God's Word. And I may have mentioned to you that a few years ago I was at a congregation, and there was a law on the activities of the service, and so I went to the podium, and they said, "Brother Rushmore, it's not your turn. Sit down." And so I just wanted to check, make sure it was my turn tonight. We're very happy to have opportunity to be with you again this evening. We like to visit as much as we can various congregations that are participating in the overall work of world evangelism, those congregations that are working with Bonnie and me in particular, as well as those congregations that are involved in the overall work program. I want to assure you that you're doing a very good work. The congregation here sends money to World Evangelism, to the Liberty Church Christ in Dennis, Mississippi, for the publication of Voice of Truth International magazine. Not only the copies that you receive here, but also additionally making it possible for tens of thousands of copies of Voice of Truth International magazine to go into various parts of the world. And so we print about 40,000 English copies of Voice of Truth every quarter in this country, about 20,000 of which are shipped to various locations around the world. We have 5,000 copies in English also printed in India for distribution there. And then as you open up the front part of the Voice of Truth, you see that it also is translated and published in the languages of Telugu and Tamil. And there's a Braille edition, also the Hindi, which is the national religion of India, and the Nepali edition, and also now Sinhalese edition. And perhaps others will be added as time goes along. And, of course, there's a Spanish Voice of Truth. We're kind of in a little bit of a difficulty with that for a while because of the death of the previous editor and trying to find sufficient volunteers to be on board to continue that with any type of a timeliness. But what we're saying is that the monies that are sent by this congregation are invested in what you designated for. It doesn't go for anything else. And you're doing a very good work in that regard. We would encourage you to continue doing just that. We and others who operate under the so-called quasi-banner of world evangelism are under our respective elderships to which we report, and we voluntarily cooperate with each other, and we go and do various things around the world, not only the literature aspect of it, but the world, but there's also the TV and the radio programs, and there's the foreign Bible schools and the foreign campaigns, things of that nature, and lots of other pieces of literature that are available in print or also on the Internet. In a few moments, we're going to look at some pictures, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as far as prefatory information is concerned in just a moment. But out there in the foyer, we have some copies of our newsletter that are available to you if you'd like to have that. And also, if you want to receive it regularly, put your name and your address on the clipboard out there. If you want to receive a reminder when each new monthly edition of Gospel Gazette Online is ready, put your name and your email address out there. Now, October is probably going to be late, and November is going to be late because we're not going to be around. A week from Thursday, Bonnie and I and Thurman Hodge leave this country, and we go to, first of all, Yangon in Myanmar or Burma. We'll spend several weeks there in various locations of that country, working with Christians and non-Christians as well. And then we go to Singapore to catch another airplane, but we have a layover. And so we're trying to work out the details with some of our brethren in Singapore for a Friday night program there as well. And then we will go to India and work in several different locations for several more weeks. And we will arrive back in the United States on November 13th if everything works out according to plan. And so we're very feverishly trying to make preparation of all the lessons that are necessary. We're very feverishly working on the next issue that we will send to the printing company, Voice of Truth International magazine. Volume 72 is current. 73 is about to be delivered in October after we leave. And before we leave, we have to deliver to the printing company Volume 74. And so when you're going to bed around midnight tonight, we'll probably be shutting out the light as well, as we've been working for the rest of the evening, probably on Voice of Truth International magazine. Our office is mobile. It is in the car as I drive Bonnie to work sometimes, if she's not sleeping, and also in motel rooms or wherever it may be that we are. We are working in other countries as well, working on these sort of things. We have out there in the foyer some tablets that you're welcome to pick up, and You'll remember us every time you write a little bit of a note, put it in your purse, women, or maybe beside some phone or something of that nature, have it available to you. We have some samples of tracks out there we'd like you to pick up and some other things for you to take a look at out there. We're going to go on a 30,000-mile trip, a round trip, in about 30 minutes. Now, that's pretty fast, and so I don't want any of you to get injured or hurt. I don't want you to fall out of the aisle. I don't want you to fall forward and bang your head on the pew in front of you. So hold on as we make this whirlwind trip. We're going to be looking at some pictures that have to do with places to which we went in 2011 and also some places to which Bonnie and I have already gone in 2012. And then again, we're about to leave directly for our fall program. And so we borrowed this particular title from one of the occasions of the Great Commission with which all of us are familiar, in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, the words of our Lord. We begin by taking a look at some synopsis of what it is we're about. We travel about 45 weeks of the year, whether it's in this country or abroad, about 3,000 miles a month by automobile, trying to be at two different congregations every Lord's Day, and sometimes Wednesday nights and sometimes other weekdays as well. We travel annually 50,000 miles or more by airplane. We work on those two gospel magazines that I've already mentioned to you, plus Global Harvest magazine. We load and unload tractor trailers of literature. Voice of Truth alone goes into 80 countries around the world in English. We haul literature to containers that brethren are loading at various locations. We keep all the printed material in publication. We have about 350 titles back at the office, various books, tracts, and so forth, in addition to the magazines about which we're talking. And we get communication from all over the world, all day, every day, as it were. I've had communication today from Singapore. We get communications from, we had communication today from Sudan and other places as well. In this picture, Bonnie and I and others are loading a tractor trailer with literature that will go to the East Coast and be put on a container ship. Usually we don't have a lift gate. Here we have a lift gate. You see, it was a little bit cooler than we've experienced lately as we were wearing jackets. And then here our daughter Rebecca and the two of us are loading a trailer to go to Nashville, Tennessee to put into a container. And then this is the type of display that we put up when we go to a lectureship program like Polishing the Pulpit or Fried Hartman University regarding the literature as well as the evangelism. This is a team of five in Winona, Betty, the widow of J.C. in the middle, and then Jerry and Paula Bates on the right with whom we work. They are overseas at the moment. And so whether we happen to be over on the other side of the planet someplace or whether we are here in this country, we try to do what we're instructed to do in passages like Titus 3 and verse 14. Try to be fruitful. Try to be useful. Try to do something in a positive way as far as the kingdom of our Lord is concerned, as all Christians are supposed to do that. Here our daughter Rebecca and Bonnie and I were after we returned from Guyana, South America last year. And then this is me speaking on a Thursday evening at a place called Dora. The road stops there, no utilities. It sits on a sandy bluff in this building overlooking a river running through a rainforest. We made our way down to the river's edge, got on a leaky boat. Bonnie bailed water, and we did some dock knocking. I could either go by jungle trail or go by boat. We went by boat. My feet were hurting. And we go to these docks like that, go visit those who might be encouraged to come and to attend the services that night. Well, on the water down there, a barge of teak wood went by us. And then as we were in Linden, where we were based in 2011, this ocean-going freighter came in about 25 miles from the Atlantic Ocean, was able to turn around in the river, head the other way, and load with bauxite. We hooked into a program with the Colleyville, Tennessee church where our daughter worships in 2011. They had vacation Bible school in the morning, had door knocking in the afternoon. And then in the evenings, we had what they call maturity classes where Bonnie taught the ladies and I taught the men. This was in the backyard of one of the houses to which I went door knocking in the afternoon, Bird taking a bath in that bucket of water and that water faucet. Now, this young lady has the best of all possible circumstances. She gets to live at school. You see, her mother's a school teacher and lives on premises, and so she lives there. Here's Bonnie, has the auditorium and the mic because she had the bigger class. I had the little room off to the side because we had a smaller class of men. Here we have a Guyanese teenager on the left and an American teenager on the right. And then this is Nigel Milo, with whom we worked that year and also worked with under a different type of a program earlier this year as well. And so we are endeavoring to be useful in the service of the Lord, whether we're talking about outreach programs or particularly if we're talking about some type of edification. Barney and I went to Guyana, South America this June, and we primarily, whether in South America or Asia, or for that matter this country, we primarily teach Christians to know God's Word more perfectly and to help them more efficiently evangelize their own nations. And so Barney taught the ladies about the role of women in the home and in the church, and I taught about male leadership primarily in the church, a Guyanese brother teaching about male leadership in the home. We had five workshops in four cities in 4 days. This is one of the classrooms where I was teaching, no walls in this particular classroom. And then we, on off days, went to the hospital, passed out Voice of Truth International magazine, and after I'd passed this bed, looked back, this man was reading it already. This is a Bible study, Guyanese style, overturned 5-gallon plastic bucket on which the woman is sitting, preacher sitting on the floor. And then we also went to a boarding school for high school students, and I taught Bible archaeology there. Then, of course, the pictures of children are precious, whether we're talking about this country or someplace else in the world. That little boy right there between Bible class and worship had a milk bottle by the nipple in his teeth and went up there and started imitating the song leader like this, with that milk bottle swinging back and forth like that. And this young one right here turned around and just looked at me as he was in the pew in front of me. And so what Bonnie and I primarily do is what Paul said Apollos did. Paul planted the seed of the kingdom, and Apollos watered the seed of the kingdom. And outreach is, of course, important, but it is equally important to build up the church of the Lord. And so we try to grow the church from the inside out to stabilize congregations of the body of Christ, whether it's one country or another to which we go. This is in the fall in Myanmar or Burma. This is at 8 Mile Junction from our 12-story hotel. This is the 8 Mile Church of Christ that has been meeting illegally for the last 30 years in the home of Winsome and Sheila Vertanes. Here we have another home in Yangon. Services are over. The congregation is now having refreshments. Home of Esther. This is Jay Audie. We, through the generosity of brethren, we're able to provide him this laptop and also a laser printer. He translates our literature into the Lisu and Rawang languages in the China/Burma area. And then this has to do with, of course, worship, if you're familiar with Acts chapter 20, verse 7 and surrounding passages. And as we are concluding our worship on the Lord's Day, as we're here right now, our brethren 12 time zones away are already looking at Monday morning. But they're doing what they do on the Lord's Day, what we do on the Lord's Day, because they're following the same guidebook. They're following the same book of instructions. They're following the New Testament for the way in which they worship God. This is up in the northeastern part of Myanmar, in a place called Magina. And these are primarily Christian church people that are orchestrated by our brethren. And so we taught them for a week about the identity of the church, including the way in which God wants to be worshipped, and they ate it up. And they wanted my book, The Church Divine, translated into their Lisu language to be used in their Christian church congregations. We wanted to go back up again this year. Last year there was a law and a local civil war for a week that allowed us to go up there and teach for a week, but there's no relenting in the fighting this year, so we have to send literature. We cannot go personally. In Burma, the church meets in homes, irrespective of what religious group it is, because the government does not allow public assembly for worship except for Buddhism. And then this is fresh meat at market, still clucking in the basket. And this is the type of taxi cab in which we rode in that part of the world, motorcycle front, pickup truck back, wooden benches in the back. And then, not pictured, we also study with a Baptist family and their husband and wife and their grown daughter. And so when I'm studying with Baptists, I get a piece of paper and I draw a timeline. And on one side, we have a dot representing when they were born. a dot on the other side indicates the current date. Then I ask them, when did you believe that Jesus was the Christ? They put a dot on there, and they date that as well. I ask them, when were you saved from your sins? And Baptist doctrine would have that be the same dot. And then I ask them, when were you baptized? And that would be a different dot, dated differently. And then I have them sign the piece of paper, and they look at you kind of funny. And then they sign it, you put it away, maybe you won't ever need that piece of paper again, but probably you will. Because after you teach them the truth regarding salvation, they'll take their new knowledge and use it as a template or an overlay on what they did, and there'll be confusion. But if they do that, you whip out that piece of paper and say, well, that's not what you said when we began this study. Is that your signature right there? Oh, yes, my signature. I guess you're right. But this couple wasn't cooperating with me. Because they said they were saved from their sins when they were immersed in water for the remission of their sins, which is true, which is New Testament teaching. And so in the absence of denominational preachers from foreign countries such as America to misrepresent the truth, they are resorting to the Bible. And so they're not very far from the kingdom. And the Christian church folk with whom we had contact are not very far from the kingdom. And so we studied with the Baptists, we studied with the Christian church, we studied with members of the church, and also Buddhists. And we're very anxious about the prospect for great inroads for the gospel of Christ in that part of the world. In Acts chapter 18, verses 26 and 27, we have Aquila and Priscilla taking Apollos aside and teaching him more perfectly the will of the Lord. And we endeavor to do that with our brethren, as also in this case, also with Christian church and Baptist too. This is over in Mandalay in Burma, and I was wearing the culturally acceptable clothes for that country for men. And I'm wearing the culturally acceptable clothes for men here in Mobile, Alabama. I didn't think you wanted to see me wearing a lingerie or a skirt tonight. Barney taught those ladies in the previous picture. I taught these men. We have Buddhists, we have members of the church, we have denominational folk as well. This is the pagoda or temple for Buddhism in Mandalay, layered in gold. Inside is an image of Buddha, a man that they have deified, also layered in gold, before which idol we have food and flower offerings and money boxes and worshipers. Weaving is very big in Asia, and this is a picture of weaving silk. This might be found in anybody's house or in some type of a garage. This woman with her children in tow is selling birds on the street. Exchange some candy for that picture. In Asia, the women do the heavy lifting, and this woman's carrying away construction debris in a pan on her head. This is the palace of the last dynasty before British colonization of Burma, also in Mandalay, one of the towers that's overlooking the wall and the moat surrounding the palace complex. We did not go up there. Very hot and sticky like here in Alabama, and didn't want to go to the top of the tower. In Acts 17 and verse 16, we find the Apostle Paul encountered idolatry during his missionary journeys. Now, when Brother Sargent stands up here in the podium and he has an occasion to talk about idolatry in America, he's going to tell you that anything that we allow to come between ourselves and God essentially is idolatry. And, of course, that is correct. But we can go into the other part of the world, such as India and Sri Lanka and in Myanmar and in other places in Asia, and we will find the same degree and type of idolatry that the Apostle Paul encountered 2,000 years ago during his missionary journeys. This is up in the mountains of Myanmar. How would you like to do some door knocking at that house? I don't think I'd make it up the bamboo walkway to the house without getting wet. We have 3 million people living on the shore at the base of mountains or living on top of the water, referred to as the Venice of the East. This 220-volt electricity is running across rickety poles across the lake. Maybe no American lineman would like that job. And then, the streets are of water, traversed by boats, some of which have motors, others of which are just dug out canoes and paddled. This walkway goes from one row of buildings to another. We're about to go underneath that. And then this is a dug out canoe, half of a tree hollowed out. A lot of that going on as well still today. And then this is a close-up of the image of Buddha. He's usually a fat little dude, but here he's kind of slimmed down. And we were there during the festival of moving the image from one pagoda to another in these pagoda boats. And so each village would have a parade boat tied to each other and tied to these pagoda boats, and then they would parade around the lake, and we got to see the procession twice as we were able to go ahead of it. And so they row their boats in this part of the world by standing up and rowing with their legs, whether it's one man or whether it's 100. And then the vendors come out to you in their own little boats trying to sell, in this case, silver jewelry. You have to move your boat someplace else if you don't want any. And then we saw paper being made from mulched vegetation spread over a screen, dried in the sun, and some of the paper was made into umbrellas, as we saw there. One of the mountain tribes wears up to 40 pounds of brass rings on the necks of the ladies by the time they quit putting them on. And then this is the lotus flower that grows wild everywhere on the lake, from which they extract string to use in the weaving process. And then, of course, this is a reference to idolatry again that Paul encountered, the same type of which we find today. This is the Mabi Bible School in Burma, about 45 minutes away from Yangon in the jungle. Here, ladies and men, advanced and beginning class was pictured. Here we have me teaching Bible geography being translated into the Burmese language. Here's Barney's ladies' class, and this lady right here is wearing a miniskirt for her culture. And then I'm teaching sermon preparation and delivery in this picture. We're having a class project at this occasion. And so what we do in our Bible schools and other similar activities abroad is what we do on a congregational basis here in America, as well as what we do in our schools of preaching and the Bible departments of our Christian colleges. We try to teach somebody something about the Word of the Lord that they in turn can tell somebody else, who in turn can tell somebody else, and so forth. And this is God's plan A for circulating the gospel of Christ within a generation from one person to another, as well as circulating the gospel of Christ from one generation to another. Now, if that's God's plan A, what do you suppose God's plan B is? God doesn't have a plan B. And so if you and I don't embrace our personal and congregational and brotherhood responsibilities of telling the world about the gospel of Christ, it simply will not be done. We are in God's plan. We went over to Chillicothe, India, hooked up with Steve Hogan from the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ in Florence, Alabama, visiting a couple of the congregations that they support. He had to curtail his trip as there was a death in his family. He had to go back home, and we continued. Here I'm preaching on Sunday morning at Chillicothe. And here is a school of preaching at Chillicothe. I'm posing with some of the staff and also students. Had opportunity to teach them. Here I'm teaching Bible geography. I do teach other things, but all the pictures of me teaching are of Bible geography. And then as I teach the men, Bonnie teaches the ladies. And she was teaching these ladies in the courtyard as I was teaching on the roof. And then on Sunday, Bonnie stayed behind after worship and taught ladies and children throughout the day. And I went to other congregations like Ongol and participated in their worship services. We had meetings in villages. This is a meeting in an animist village in a field under a tarp. This is a nighttime meeting orchestrated by our brethren, mostly denominational people. They were very studious. They took notes. They brought their Bibles, and three of these individuals responded to be baptized. The difficulty was finding water deep enough to baptize them. 3 kilometers away, after waiting around in some creek, found water knee-high and able to immerse them. Back in Chillicothe, at lunchtime, so many people, such little space, fed them in 3 shifts. And, of course, the menu was rice. We went to a place I call Tairu Vuru because I can't say it right, but they can't spell my name correctly either, as it turns out. And there I'm dressed in a safari, and Barney's dressed in a sari, our best dress for India. And I'm teaching 100 gospel preachers who have come from a radius around for instruction over several days. And while I'm teaching them, Barney's teaching 130 women on the flat roof, after which he taught 100 children on the flat roof. Now, there are low walls up there. And if we had American children up there, we probably would have lost a few of them over the side. But these were very orderly, very studious, very attentive. And then we went to a place called Chanabanda on Sunday morning, for which I preached. This is the congregation of the Lord's Church. And Satan interrupted our services twice. Now, this picture is back at the compound where we were lodging. Wild monkeys came in. They scratch, they bite, they will kill babies if they can. This is Satan interrupting our services, not even disguising himself. First, he appeared in the ceiling above my head, much lower ceiling than this, twice, and then he came down the wall after me. And then a couple of brethren got up, and with bamboo sticks, they dispatched him to another world, and we continued our worship service that morning. This is over in Kakinada, India, in Andhra Pradesh State, on the Bay of Bengal, and we were there participating in a lectureship program. Barney's wearing a shalwar kameez. I'm wearing the safari again. And we taught men and women. I taught everybody that showed up, and Barney taught the ladies and children. Here I'm teaching. It's being translated into the Telugu language. And here is a snapshot of a day lecture. 600-plus adults, around 90-plus children in attendance, day and night lectures. One of the night lectures, one of the young ones sitting up close, fell asleep in a seated position, leaning up against the platform for the podium. Barney had a 300-member ladies' class, all sitting on the floor all around her, and also sitting on the stairwell going to the roof. Here are some of those sitting on the stairwell going to the roof, young and old alike. And then these are the children that Barney taught. She's standing in the back of the room at the moment as somebody else is teaching. About 90 children. Then she also taught smaller groups of children. She says it's more difficult to teach children using a translator than it is to teach adults with a translator. And then the lepers also came to the lecture program. These are cured from the contagious nature of their disease, all members of the church. And then I was on the roof one day looking for some movement of air, didn't find any, heard a screeching noise, and walked to the back of the building and found this tree towering over the three-story building filled full of cat-sized fruit bats hanging upside down, wrapped up in their wings, screeching and crying. Now, they don't hurt people. They just hurt bugs. And bugs hurt me, so I'm all in favor of those bats hurting all the bugs they can get, that they can possibly hurt. This is over in Skinner's Garden in India. This young class is being taught English. There are 106 children in the children's home there. There's a widow's home there, a school of biblical studies for men and women. They're also given a vocational training so they can support themselves. They have a printing press where they print tens of thousands of tracts for distribution, a church building there, and they launch out at night in the various villages at some distance with the gospel of Christ. These ladies are finishing up breakfast of rice. Lunch will be rice. Supper will be rice. If there's any dessert, it will be rice. This is Sunday morning worship about 10 kilometers away, Lord's Church. And I'm speaking, and Brother John Dean, graduate from Heritage Christian University here in Alabama, is translating into the Telugu language. Incidentally, Nigel Milo is also from Heritage. Here I'm teaching a seminar of gospel preachers about Bible geography. And Barney's teaching at the same time ladies over at the church building. And then at night we would go to various villages. If you look very carefully, you'll see the vehicle in which we rode here. There's a street meeting. You put down tarps. People sit there, and then you preach for a long time. We went to a place on Sunday night expecting about six people, and 300 people showed up. And so it was another street meeting, people sitting to my right in front of me and also sitting behind me. There was a drainage ditch to the left, couldn't sit there. Had gospel meetings as well. This is a building owned by the brethren. It has a thatched roof. And as I began to preach, spiders began rappelling down from the roof right in front of me. Wasn't very happy about that, but we got on with preaching and teaching the gospel. One of the nicest buildings in India that our brethren have. This location, they were seated on the ground, wall to wall, also outside in the dark, listening to a loudspeaker. And some of those outside in the dark came in to be baptized. Now, this particular baptistry is on church property. Stagnant, dirty water makes one pure. Barney posed with the preacher's wife at Skinner's Garden and her new baby. This was the baby of the family until the new one came along. Barney won't let me buy her any of those ankle trinkets. She won't wear them. If you think they look nice on her, you tell her that. Now, we have interesting braid ornamentation. The young lady assured me it's not gold. They're not materialistic. And so that passage right there simply has to do with, of course, the children's home about which we read in, well, about which I talked in the, and children who are orphans, about which we read in James 1. As I go to various places in this country and around the world, I am not aware of a congregation that is more fully involved in the work of the Lord than that Skinner's Garden congregation. Got a church building there, a children's home, a widow's home, a school of biblical studies, and a printing press, and then launching out into various communities with the gospel of Christ. They really want to apply themselves, and they can be a very good example for us as well. And then we went to Bangalore, India, had a preacher's seminar. Barney taught the ladies who came. I taught the men for several days, and it's being translated into the Tamil language here. We had an illegal meeting at a legal location, which made it all right. And they did videotaping. DVDs were made and distributed to those who were unable to attend. We have a picture of those who were able to attend here. And you see there were several who were able to be with us those several days. And then I'm not a plumber, but I did a little plumbing while I was there. Usually when we bathe in India, it's a bucket of cold water and a cup. And you get all wet and you lather up, then you try to get the lather back off. And my hair gets thicker and thicker and thicker. I went to one congregation and talked about that, as I'm doing now. And one elderly sister said, "Oh, I need to go to India. My hair is getting thin." Well, what it was, I can't get the soap back out. But there we had hot water in the wall, but it couldn't get out because of the plugged up shower head. So I bought a wrench and bought some parts, and I fixed that. So we had a hot shower while we were at that location for those few days. And the father of the man in whose house we were lodging was so overjoyed, because sometimes he visits his son, and he would have hot water coming out of the wall also. And then we flew down to Colombo, Sri Lanka, and Sunday morning my lessons being translated into the Sinhalese language. After services, what had been the Lord's table became the buffet table, and two congregations of the Lord's Church fellowshipped over food with each other. And we borrowed a baby here. We are at the stage of life when we like to borrow babies and give them back when we're done with them, or when they need a diaper change, whichever might come first. And then this is kind of a synopsis of what we did in 2011, not counting so far this year, how many weeks we were gone or days we were gone, in what nations we labored, 84 hours in the air plus airport time. We taught about 6,500 people in the fall alone. Combined, we were able to teach about 240 hours on a trip like that. And so we have almost double the effectiveness rather than if one person were to go by himself or by herself. Our oral presentations translated into six languages. Now our written presentations have been translated into 12 different foreign languages. And then there are tens of thousands of tracts that are printed, courtesy of our brethren who provide printing money that I've been able to take and leave in various locations with capable brethren around the world. Now Acts chapter 14 and verse 27 has to do with the Apostle Paul returning from one of his missionary journeys to the church of Antioch of Syria, and gathering that congregation together, and rehearsing with him, or them rather, the unfolding of that particular missionary trip. And so that's our biblical precedent for tonight, together, at this occasion, talking about live, ongoing mission work. We look for Bible authority for everything we do in Christian living, in Christian service, Christian worship, Christian doctrine, and no less in these things about which we are talking tonight. That brings us to the end of these particular presentations. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of pictures. Just invite us to your house someday, and we will show you so many pictures that you will not get to go to bed very early. But we're talking about evangelism. And evangelism doesn't just happen on the other side of the planet. But it's something that happens or should happen everywhere, including right here at home where we are, in the neighborhood around this church building, in the neighborhoods around where we live, at work where we work, at school where we go to school, in our extended families. We need to accept some degree of personal responsibility to tell somebody something about the gospel of Christ. It's not a difficult message. If we were to summarize it in the words of our Lord alone, we'd find in Mark 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. It doesn't get any simpler than that. And if we were to reduce that to a mathematical equation, it would be like 1 plus 2 equals 3. I can get around that. And we don't even have to be bold enough to look at somebody eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe. We can leave literature in a place where it will be found. And nobody to whom we owe money will refuse our bill payment if we put literature in there. We can't make anybody do anything. But it's not our responsibility to baptize anybody or to make them do something they don't want to do. But our responsibility is to sow the seed of the kingdom and water it. And God will give the increase. And if we sow the seed of the kingdom and we water the seed of the kingdom, that is, we turn the world upside down with the gospel of Christ, we saturate this world with opportunity to have access to the word of the Lord, that's all God expects of you and me. And he will not hold us accountable if people do not obey the gospel of Christ when we plant the seed of the kingdom and when we water the seed of the kingdom. But he will. He will hold us accountable congregationally, as a brotherhood, and as individuals if we don't plant the seed, if we don't water the seed of the kingdom. A soul in this country is as precious as a soul on the other side of the planet. A soul among our family members is as precious as any soul anywhere on earth. It's not an optional matter. It's an urgent matter. Nothing is as important as to where we will spend eternity and where our loved ones and our friends will spend their eternities. It's called evangelism. It's called the gospel of Christ. Immediately preceding the ascension of our Lord, he talked about Christian living, didn't he? No, he didn't. He talked about Christian doctrine, didn't he? No, he didn't. He talked about Christian service, didn't he? No, he didn't. He talked about how to worship God acceptably, didn't he? No, he did not. All of these things are extremely important, essential. But the thing about which he talked immediately preceding his ascension is what we call the Great Commission. That's the job that he gave you and me to do. And as successful as we might be in any other venue, if we're not successful in the one job he gave us to do, we're not really successful enough. Maybe there's somebody here this evening who needs to obey the gospel of Christ, put on Christ, become a child of God. Or maybe someone, a member of the church, who needs to acknowledge public sin, that we might pray with you and encourage you, that all of us hand in hand might make our pilgrimage throughout this life toward the eternity on high. If we can assist any at this hour, please make those needs known now as we stand and as we sing.